I highly recommend everybody listening to this learn that, because you'll be empowered for the rest of your life to address so many issues that you don't even know you're experiencing because we ignore them. That to be fit, you have to push your body and kind of be in pain until someday you get to where you want to be. That concept does not apply when we're doing somatic movement.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well, the podcast for you if you want to get better at leading yourself and leading others. This is Christine Schickinger, your host, looking into how you can achieve peak performance while keeping a peaceful mind.
I have a wonderful guest with me today, someone I will experience as a teacher pretty soon because I have subscribed to a course with you, Alyssa. And that is the Equine Hanna Somatics course. That's why I have invited you to this interview, because it's so exciting and I'm so looking forward to that. And before we go into that, let me quickly introduce yourself. Okay, so today's guest, as I said, is Alyssa Mayer, leading educator in Equine Hanna Somatics. And we'll talk about that, what that is, and the creator of the Feel Embodied System. Alyssa specializes in applying neuroscience and somatic practices to enhance the well-being and performance of both horses and humans. As the founder of the Association for Equine Hanna Somatics Education, she teaches individuals worldwide how deepening body awareness can profoundly transform their lives and relationships. Through her work, Alyssa empowers people with practical tools to reduce stress, relieve pain, and foster meaningful connections. Wow. Welcome, Alyssa.
You make me sound so good. Thank
you.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. And you are, I know. So,
thank you.
Alyssa, what is this Hanna Somatics or Equine Hanna Somatics that I mentioned?
Well, Hanna Somatics is a pretty revolutionary method of applying the outcome of some basic neuroscience and neurophysiological reflexes that we have to achieve the relaxation and nervous system regulation that it seems like everyone is talking about and interested in having. What that actually means and what we're doing with Hanna Somatics is we are approaching the body and the mind as a single unit to bring it back to homeostasis by reducing chronic muscle tension. And the way that we do that is to treat each individual, whether it's a horse or a person or a dog or a parrot or a cat I've worked with, as an individual and as an individual conscious being that we call a soma. So a soma, as described and sort of redefined by Thomas Hanna, who is the founder and creator of Hanna Somatics, the human practice that all of our various versions of Hanna Somatics now are based on. The soma is the mind and body as experienced from within. So the first person perspective of living inside your body, experiencing the world through the senses that come in through the various avenues of your body and are then kind of processed and interpreted by the nervous system. That is the most important viewpoint, I guess, or worldview even, of Hanna Somatics, that each person, each horse is a soma. They have their unique experience, and that experience is unique to each individual, because I can know all of the anatomy and all of the physiology and all of the psychology and all of the philosophy of, let's say, your culture in Germany. I don't know all of that, but I could know all of those things from studying books and school. But I would never know the world as you know the world, experienced by your soma, because that is unique to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in a way, is kind of the experience of having a nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. The way we see the world and the way we move around in the world, that's actually what the nervous system is, so that we can do that. And that's what we're working with. Anytime we work with a person doing conversation like this, doing body work in medicine, education, we're always interacting with that person as a soma and with their nervous system. What we do in Hanna Somatics is, instead of trying to do something to that person, to that soma from the outside, we facilitate that soma, that person or that horse, in using their own inherent, hardwired, natural ability to self-regulate, to heal their own body, which is something that kind of seems like a new, again, discovery that people are coming to, right? But so that they can, essentially, we describe it as actualize their potential, right? Mm-hmm. So that they can suffer less from this accumulated stresses of just living your life and actually become the kind of highest self that we have as our potential.
Mm-hmm. And we're doing that through the body, don't we? So we access the nervous system by doing certain movements with the body.
Yeah. So in Hannah Somatics, we use movement, but it's self-guided movement or self-generated voluntary movement. And that's really important, which will come out more the more we talk. That's kind of the door that we're using to access or interact with the nervous system. And in that way, we cause the individual person or horse with the soma's own brain to make changes from the inside. And the specific change that we're after is a resetting of resting muscle tone. So resting muscle tone is kind of your baseline level of muscle contraction or muscle activity that you have right now in your body, that I have mm-hmm. in my body. It's the combination of the inherent biotensegral tone in our tissues that just keeps us upright, mm-hmm. plus the baseline or minimum level of muscle activity required to keep us upright against gravity and have equilibrium so that we can balance ourselves against things that happen, right? While we're moving, or environmental things that cause us to move out of balance so that we can just come back to balance mm-hmm. all by ourselves automatically.
And when we're living in a really stressful environment, then the tension is higher than what it would need to be.
Yes. Mm. And that's very useful in a moment of stress, or when you're playing a sport, or when you're picking up a heavy package or something, riding a horse, right? It's really important to be able to elevate the level of positive tension in your body so that you can move and be athletic and be strong when you need to. What happens, though, is because of the extremely high level of stress that we're exposed to as people living in Western culture, hustle culture, modern human society is very stressful, that we're constantly stimulated and thinking and worrying and have all these demands on us. When you're living in a really high stress environment, the stress happens faster than we can relax out of it normally, right? If we were still living in a small tribe of hunter-gatherers, you know, the way we evolved to do, we would have less stress. We don't have smartphones. We don't have these demands. We don't have, you know, are we going to write the essay and get into the college and finish our graduate degree and make enough money that we can support our family? And I mean, some of those concerns are universal and always have been. But so the idea that we're working with is that we can help the soma, the body and the mind as a unit, respond to those stresses so that the body and the mind, the nervous system, the soma, those are all kind of the same thing, can respond to those stresses and match the accelerated level of stress with an increased level of self-regulating. And we do that through the somatic movement that we practice and teach in Hannah Somatics.
Mm. And then also regulate it down to a more relaxed state when we don't need the stress anymore.
Yes, ideally so that when we're not needing to be stressed or activated for a purpose, we'll just go back to a neutral baseline. So we're operating mm-hmm. most efficiently. We're not wasting energy. And we're also not holding muscle tension, contractions in our muscles that distort our posture, that take us out of symmetry, and that burn energy. And ultimately, that start to hurt. When you have a muscle that's tight for a long time, not only does it not allow your normal range of motion in opposition to its job of shortening, but then it's on all the time. So it's constantly working. It's burning energy to do that. It's producing waste byproducts in the muscle tissue that then build up in the tissue and that can feel sore. And it's not getting enough hydration and nutrition to support that level of activity. And it starts to produce a symptom.
Mm. And I guess it's not only a bodily symptom, but it has an impact on the mind as well, on the emotional side of things. Is that correct?
It has to. Mm. Right. I mean, we have this concept that I think developed along with the language to talk about it and the abstract thinking ability that we have to talk about the mind and the body as two separate things.
Mm.
Because before some person somewhere along the line came up with that idea that the mind and the body are separate, they weren't. Mm. Right? They still aren't, but we talk about them as if they are. And part of that, I think, is because it's more practical to piece things apart so that we can address things, or how that's how we understand things, is to dissect them and study the pieces. But we need to remember that they're pieces of a whole that works together, and that's how it was designed. That's how it evolved. That's how it works when it's alive, before we've had the opportunity, hopefully in a humane way, to dissect something, whether it's a frog in your biology class when you're a kid, or now it's becoming popular to do more horse dissections to really understand the anatomy. And there's a whole, I mean, some people are into that, some people are not, you know. But the nice thing for my work with both horses and with equestrians and athletes is that the basic anatomy and physiology is the same, because we're both mammals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the level that we're working at with hanosomatics, is actually it's a vertebrate level reflex. So this would apply to work with non-mammals as well, although that doesn't usually happen in most of our practices. Usually we see mammals like dogs and horses and people and sometimes a goat or something, you know, but.
Oh, wow, that's great. So brain and body being separate, it's like a misconception that you're seeing out there. Are there any other common misconceptions that you come across when you teach hanosomatics or you apply hanosomatics?
There are quite a few, actually, that probably we all have and believe to some degree, even if we know we shouldn't. Things like the expression, no pain, no gain. Do you have a similar expression in German?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That anything that's worth having is hard or requires hard work or sacrifice. That to be fit, you have to push your body and kind of be in pain until someday you get to where you want to be. That concept does not apply when we're doing somatic movement,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I've made it sound sort of big and heady and complex, that the practice of hanosomatics is actually really straightforward and sort of simple. And that's that we are doing the natural movements of the body. And that's a little species specific. So when we're working with a person and helping teach them about hanosomatics, we don't do anything to the client.
Mm-hmm.
Something really unique to hanosomatic education, regardless of whether you're working with people or animals, is that we have our hands on sometimes to help facilitate or to give information that you can't verbalize, that you can only feel.
Oh.
The goal is for each client to be moving their own body through a natural movement that they would do anyway, just based on their anatomy, and staying within their comfortable range of motion while they do that.
Right.
So we actively avoid things like stretching or moving through resistance or doing something in a way that hurts. And in fact, we will modify immediately what we're asking the person or horse to do if there's an indication that there's pain. And that can be tricky with people who believe no pain, no gain,
mm-hmm.
because they don't always tell us when something hurts, or they don't always tell us when turning their head to the left is starting to stretch the muscles on the opposite side. And it might not hurt yet, but they can feel the stretch and they may not say something because we've been taught to stretch. It's part of every fitness routine and every warm-up and cool down. And not to say that stretching is bad or all stretching is bad, but there's a particular reflex mm-hmm. that all animals share that's associated with stretching a muscle. It's actually called the stretch reflex. And there's a couple different kinds of it, of the stretch reflex, which is also known as the myotatic reflex or reflexes. And that's that when a muscle is stretched, it will recontract mm-hmm. to its pre-stretch length or shortness.
Mm.
And that involuntary reflex, it happens below the level of the brain. So it happens in the body, in the lower part of the nervous system. And then the brain's informed afterwards, like, oh, I got stretched and now my muscle went back. But the goal with hanosomatics is to help the person allow their muscles to lengthen and to reset their baseline level of muscle length, where they're going to default back to after they move. And when we stretch, that kind of dominates the moment. And now the muscle has gone back to a shortened place. And we didn't achieve the higher brain level process that's required to reset the resting tone.
Mm.
So again, stretching can be okay, depending on how you do it. But that's also something that just blows people's mind, or they just are shocked when we say we don't want you to stretch while doing hanosomatics. And if you want to know why, here's why. But that's, again, different from almost anyone else who does anything with a body that I've come across.
Wow. Well, the picture I had in my mind is when I have sand and I put a ball in and I start moving it really, really slowly, then it will create this kind of ditch. But when I move it too fast up, then it will go down again. So yeah, it makes sense. It can be the same with the muscle there. Wow, interesting. Thank you. So this is Hannah Somatics, and then you have created the feel-embodied approach as well. What's the difference there? What is the feel-embodied approach?
Well, I had to come up with a name for the stuff that I do that isn't specifically Hannah Somatics or Equine Hannah Somatics, because when I came to Equine Hannah Somatics, so I learned this first for the horses, I was already an established horse trainer, riding instructor, and had always been really interested in fitness and health and nutrition just on my own, but also because it really helped me help my equestrian clients to be a better version of themselves if they could for their horse. Because the more athletic a person is, the easier it is for a horse to carry them generally, unless they're so athletically trained that they're tense in their whole body and then they can't move and then they need Hannah Somatics to help them sit better on the horse. And that for me was why I started working with people as well, not just the horses. And as I studied equine Hannah Somatics and developed a practice where I started seeing equine clients, I was still doing a training business and still training riders. And the more I knew about the neuroscience and the more I saw how this work affected the horses, the more I saw that if I really wanted to help the horses, I still have to be helping the riders, right? Because I can help a horse be as neutral and relaxed and optimized in their body and in their posture as I can, which I can do with Equine Hannah Somatics quite quickly, which is amazing. But then if the same rider with the same saddle that may not fit the horse very well, and then the rider who has some asymmetry or some tension in their body gets back on the horse, without changing the rider, the horse will start to relearn the compensation patterns that help them carry that rider or that are in response to how that rider feels and sits on them.
Mm.
And I started to also see that in my equine clients, some of the issues, actually many of the issues that I was being hired as a professional to come in and help their horse overcome were actually caused by the way people were handling the horses or riding them, as I just described, or the environment, or, you know, the shape of the horse's hoof was putting particular strain in their body that they were compensating for. And that could have been from poor hoof care, or it could have been from corrective hoof care that somebody applied to them to try to fix something. And I started looking ahead to how can I basically teach people enough to work myself out of a job where we're preventing so many of these issues that they don't need to hire me anymore. And I say work myself out of a job, that's kind of a joke, because it would be lovely to change the world to that degree. And that's my goal and my mission. But I don't see that happening too quickly. So there will always be an endless stream of potential clients who need this work. So with that in mind, I started changing the things that I was doing with horses and changing how I applied pressure and how I used my tools and kind of my expectations of how amazing horses can be when they have mind-body integration and when they aren't restricted by chronic muscle tension. They can do all the things we're asking them to do or that we think we're teaching them to do. And in fact, they probably know most of the stuff already, but so many of them are compromised in their body that they can't do the thing we're asking, or requires so much effort from them to overcome the pulling of their opposing muscle that is chronically contracted, and it's an unconscious pattern that they can't control anymore. They don't even have awareness of it anymore. And we're asking them to bend in the other direction and to be equal in bending to each direction. But they're compromised. And so they're having to overcome that just to say yes to the training cue. And if we help them be able to do what their bodies should be able to do, get free from that restriction, wow, they sure can learn fast. It's almost like they can hear what we're thinking. Which is something as horse people, we know they can do. Mm-hmm. We've all had one amazing ride or one or hopefully several experiences where you had a thought and your horse did it, whatever it was, exactly when you thought it. And your horse and you were in perfect harmony. Mm-hmm. And you had this amazing experience with a horse but you can't do it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. It happens once in a while, like all the stars have to align, or you were having a really good day, or who knows, right? And it's once you have that experience with a horse, you're chasing it for the rest of your life, right? Mm-hmm. And I started to see the potential of what I believe as Hannah Somatics for the horse and for the human is maybe the fastest, easiest, most effective way for us to get back to that place of the dream experience with horses that we have and that we're chasing, to get back there, to know how to get back there, and to get there and actually go live there. Mm. And that's what my Feel Embodied system for equestrians, or the courses that I create for the Feel Embodied Academy, which are kind of right alongside the Equine Hannah Somatics courses that I teach and direct now for the whole program, they really support each other. And it really helps us not just understand this different worldview from like the technical or the study, the knowledge side, but mm-hmm. actually feel it. Mm-hmm. What does it actually feel like to have feel, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think doing Hannah Somatics is how you wake up and activate the part of your brain that does feel, mm-hmm. right? Because it allows you to have access to the information coming in from all of your senses. And it allows you to use that information to the best of your ability, because your body is free from restrictions mm-hmm. and you're getting accurate sensory information. Mm-hmm. And you're practicing using those neurons and those neural connections involved in feeling, sensing, moving. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what I believe feel is, the ability to feel without restriction, to feel in your own body, to feel through space, to feel what another body is doing, and to be able to exchange information on that level, like say through your personal electromagnetic field, or what people often will call your bubble or your personal space. Mm-hmm. You can actually feel that. You can develop that as a sixth sense that horses already have, and birds have, and fish have, and that's how they move in groups together without bumping into each other. They can feel each other. They don't have to look at each other. We can do that too, because we're also animals. We mm-hmm. just kind of have lost that ability or shut it down because of our cultural upbringing and the way that we're trained. And you can't explain that to somebody, but if they can find the feeling, and that's kind of like the side effect of doing Hannah Somatics, we'll do it because our back hurts, or because our hips are stiff and we want to be able to swing our leg up into the saddle, or because we can't get our heels down the way our riding instructor yells at us to do all the time. And it's because you have chronic calf tension. And once you know how to turn that off and keep it off, it changes that. But then the act of doing the somatic movement is also literally growing your brain cells, the same brain cells and the same neural connections that do feel. Mm. Now we have a way to build feel really quickly. Now we can do the same thing for the horses and for the horse's brain and for their neural connections, so that they get kind of better at it and more activated instead of shut down and dull, which is what happens to them a lot in a high-stress domestic horse environment.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, sounds like a dream. Now let me ask you about your own journey. What was the biggest lesson that you learned from going through this Hannah Somatics education yourself and the whole journey that you have been on?
I don't know. What is, if I have to pick one? I don't have just one, but I have a few really highlights that really highlighted for me that this was something special, mm-hmm. and that this is something really powerful. One of them was the first time I saw this work happening with a horse. Mm-hmm. It was with my own horse. His name is Jedi. He's across the Rainbow Bridge now. But at the time, he was a horse I had rescued because nobody could fix him. Mm-hmm. You know, most horse people, if we have the means and room for one more horse, we tend to do that, right? And he had been diagnosed with navicular syndrome, which, if your listeners don't know, is chronic heel pain toward the back of the foot that is usually a death sentence, but you can usually manage them for a few years before they have to be put down because it's so painful. He had crookedness. He moved weird. He just never really looked right. And I had been trying to rehab him for a while. I probably had him for at least 6 months before the day I first saw Equine Hannah Somatics. And after an hour of what didn't look like much happening, because if you've ever seen someone do Equine Hannah Somatics with a horse, it's not exciting. It's not meant to be exciting. It's so subtle and so cooperative with the horse that it seems like the practitioner is just kind of putting their hands on the horse, and the horse bends their neck around and picks up their feet and puts them down really slowly, stuff like that. And an hour after what looked like not much happening, he looked incredible. He looked like the horse that I knew he could be inside, but I couldn't help him get to, right? Like, he'd been rehabbed. He wasn't a rescue. He wasn't a project anymore. He was shiny and fluid, and all his parts looked like they were part of the same horse instead of a bunch of different pieces stuck together, you know? And I didn't understand at the time why that was so profound and what had happened on the inside, but I could see the potential. And I wanted that for him again. And I wanted to understand it so that I could use it, because all of a sudden, every horse on my client list, all my students, all my own horses that I had, I wanted them to look that much better and feel that much better too. And so that's when I looked it up and reached out and found the school in California and met Eleanor Criswell and signed up for the training that you're going to be starting soon. And that was just mind-blowing. And as that process went of me just diving all in into this somatic stuff rabbit hole, and this was back when not everything was called somatic. So in the last few years, people have been using that word somatic or somatics to describe weightlifting and trauma therapy and everything in between, right? But back then, somatics was an unknown word. But at the effect that I saw on my horse that day did not wear off after that one session.
Wow.
And I had to keep looking at him and be like, what? Why isn't this wearing off? Everything else wears off. Massages are great, but 2 hours later, you start to feel like you again, right? So I had to know more, and I had to know why that happened. And then the more I knew, the more I understood the neurophysiology behind how that kind of immediate and permanent change can happen. And it's not always that extreme or that observable right away, but it often is. And for the other horses I started practicing with in my level one EHS studies, they started making incredible changes too. You also learn in the training how to do Hanna Somatics with your own body. And we teach that partly so that you can feel what the horses are feeling and really understand why we have these specific guidelines about how to do somatic movement and what qualifies as a voluntary pandiculation, which is the name of our main movement technique. Because if it's not kind of checking the boxes of engaging the brain and the nervous system the way we want, it can look really nice and it can feel really nice, but the effect won't last. It has to come from within the individual's own brain. A particular part of the brain has to be talking to the muscles throughout the movements for the individual to reset their muscle tone. And when they do it from within like that, they've reset the level. Like, there is no pattern to go back to because you've changed the pattern from the inside. And that's why it doesn't wear off the way so many treatments and therapies and bodywork sessions can. So then fast forward several years to I'm a graduate. I now have a practice. I like to travel. So I now have clients all over the United States and Canada and Texas and Colorado and California and Hawaii and on the East Coast. And I started going to Germany twice a year to see clients there because there was a demand for it. And I'm really tall. So I'm 6 feet tall and I have a really long torso. So flying, especially in economy class, which is how I always did, I don't quite fit in the seats and the headrests aren't quite right for me. And so I would often come off of an airplane and have back pain. And then that back pain would get in the way of me going and riding a horse or going and teaching a class or working with clients. And once I started doing my own Hanna Somatics practice regularly, which I didn't in the beginning because I thought I was just learning it so I could feel what the horses felt. But then I realized, oh, I can feel as good as the horses feel if I just use this knowledge that I already have. And so I started traveling with a yoga mat. And in airports, I would be doing my somatic exercises in between flights. And my back pain stopped being an issue. And I still did the somatics because it was kind of fun. I actually ended up teaching classes in like waiting areas and airports all over the world because people were like, what are you doing? And I was like, do this with me. You'll like it, you know? But so I started to feel so good and so rested when I got off the flight, I could go straight to the barn and see clients same day in a different time zone. And then I could see, like, I probably scheduled too much, but I would do 8 horses a day, because I'd say, okay, I'll do 6. And then one more would ask, and then there'd be another one who really needed it. And, you know, I had a hard time saying no. So I was able to do my work better because I had a practice that I could use to maintain my own body, my own well-being, that helped me feel better and be more rested. Because it is somewhat physically demanding to do this work with horses, because you're on your feet and then you're bending down and moving around the horse. And so it's not like you break a sweat when you're doing it, but your body needs to be there for you. Mm-hmm. So it gives me a way to have a sustainable career and see more clients than I would have to, and not need to take as much time off in between, which is great for building a practice and being able to, you know, make enough money. Doing a job in the horse world is sometimes challenging. So that was powerful. And then I'll just share one more, because I know I can get going and then I keep going. But I'm very excited about this. And it was 2010, that story, when I first saw this happen with my horse. So that's 15 years now. And I'm just as excited about it, or maybe more excited about it now than I was then. So then another several years forward, when I got pregnant, and I have twins. So I was like pregnancy times 2, all the stuff that your body goes through. And everything was fine. And my back was fine through the whole pregnancy. Everything was great. But about, I would say, 3 or 4 months after they were born, I started to have really bad back pain, which I learned was pretty common for women after they give birth. Kind of like once your body starts to try to normalize again, it's got some issues, because it just went through the most insane marathon that you'll ever do, right? And the back pain got so bad before they were a year old, so pretty early on, that I, and maybe, you know, most people probably can relate to this, because I think statistically over 80% of adult humans have some kind of recurring back pain. I hadn't had too much of that, but then the pain was so bad that I couldn't get out of bed in the morning without going really slowly and being careful. You know, like in the night, I'd wake up because I was in pain and have to readjust my position. And then when I'd want to get up, I'd have to really carefully roll over because I was so stiff, and I'd have to kind of squirm to the edge of the bed, then get up. And then like putting socks on was not happening, right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't bend my body all the way down until I kind of got going and got warmed up throughout the day. And then I'd feel better or forget about the pain, and by the end of the day, I'd be okay. But every morning it was coming back, and it got to the point where I was like, okay, this cannot go on. You can't just ignore this and take care of the kids, or ignore this and go to the barn, because I was getting to the point where I couldn't do very much anymore. Mm. And I blame this on baby brain or mom brain, you know, where you're in kind of another place after you give birth and have kids. But it took me a while before I had this light bulb moment where I can probably fix my own back pain with Hannah Somatics if I just do it, because I wasn't doing very much of it then, because I was taking care of baby. And I kind of felt silly having let it gone on as far as I did, which is a really interesting other discussion to have about this, the human condition, where we can suffer and we have to suffer even if we know the solution to our pain for quite some time before we actually act upon doing something about it, right? But so I finally did something about it, and I solved my pain doing the stuff I already knew how to do. So it was got to the point where it wasn't just a simple one and done fix. I had to do several of the exercises, and I had to then kind of go deeper into the practice to work repeatedly with and kind of more specifically with different muscle groups in my body, because it wasn't just one muscle giving me an issue. There were several muscles that had all kind of seized up and become stuck in a shortened state. And actually, the moment that it really totally resolved was I felt so much better that I rallied a group of my students, and I taught my first online class of Hannah Somatic Education for equestrians. And I called it the Posture Transformation Program. And I said, okay, we'll take these 8 lessons that are part of what Thomas Hannah calls the Myth of Aging series, and that I learned some of from Eleanor and some of from Thomas Hannah's book, and just over the years, my practices, and that I had been teaching pieces of to my equestrian clients already in clinics and workshops. But I was like, okay, we're going to go through this whole series kind of in depth. If you want to do it with me, I had, I don't know, 8 or 10 students who did it with me. And to prepare for that class, because it was a class I hadn't yet taught like that in sequence, I was doing a refresher for myself. So before each class meeting, like the day before, I would practice. So I'd go through what I was going to teach and make sure I could do it in like an hour or two and actually do the movements myself. Again, so I'm feeling what I'm teaching and doing it at the right pace. There's 8 lessons. I decided I would do it over 8 weeks. And I thought by the end of this, my back's going to be feeling amazing. That was really why I did it. I did it for my students, but I was also like, I'll commit to doing this for myself if I have students who expect me to show up, right? So it was a little bit of a Jedi mind trick I played on myself. But so I get to the second week. I prepare to teach the class. So I do the week 2 lesson. So the first week is focusing on the muscles on the backside of your body. So your like spinal extension muscle groups. The second week was focusing on your front muscles, what we call the red light muscles in Hannah Somatic speak. The flexors on the front of your body was more the emphasized area. And after I taught that second week class, so I practiced it the night before, then I did the same session again with my students the next day, and my back pain was gone.
Mm.
And it didn't come back this time. Because before that, I could get it mostly gone, but then it would creep back. And then I could get it mostly gone, and then it would creep back because I didn't get the whole pattern. Whatever the kind of deepest layer of that tension was still there. And so then it was kind of back feeding through my body. Mm-hmm. And something about that week 1 followed by the week 2 class was what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had back pain like that since. I get, you know, little things because I still ride horses and still have the 2 kids and still do chores. So life still happens. But I know exactly what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
To fix myself if it ever gets that bad. But I also know I'm not going to let it get that bad again. And I feel really confident that I can take care of myself when I start to feel that tension creeping back into my life. And I don't have to pay for that every time. I don't have to go to the doctor. I don't have to hire a therapist to come in and do sessions on my body. Knock on wood. I hope that I'm able to do that with my current level of knowledge. But so what Hannah Somatic Education is really, in my opinion, is the user manual for living in a body and maintaining it so that it keeps working for you. Because anything can and will happen, and things are going to start to get tight or not work, or we're going to have injuries that we then have to recover from. But this is a tool that once you learn it, you can use for the rest of your life that is based in proven neuroscience. So if you don't understand a piece of it, you can look it up in almost any decent textbook. There are a couple pieces that are still sort of being discovered as the science of neuroscience expands. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to learn some deeper things because no one really understands the brain and the nervous system. It's so incredibly complex. In fact, I believe it's the most complex system known to man, the human brain, and then how it interacts with the body. So anyone who says they understand it, or can control it. Or my favorite is when people say they're educating the nervous system, right? Or even retraining or re-educating the nervous system are things I try not to say or even think, because that's very presumptuous to think that we know enough about the mammalian brain and nervous system that we can teach it something. I don't know, but I know enough about it that I can sort of nudge it in the direction it was already going and that it was designed to already do, so that it can do its thing, which is really what we're doing with Hannah Somatics, is we're helping the soma, the mind-body unit, take care of itself the way that it's designed to, and that the way that our just extremely high level of stress that we're experiencing gets in the way of it doing that in time with the stress exposure.
Wow.
Wow.
I could listen to you for hours, and I will.
And you will, that's true. Just not today.
Sorry. That's fantastic. Is there any tiny little exercise or somatic practice, a real simple one that people could do on a daily basis to help themselves?
Absolutely. There's a whole series that you'll learn in the training, but that every Hannah Somatic educator and most of our equine Hannah Somatics educators are out there teaching to their clients or teaching parts of to their clients until they learn the whole sequence. But it's called the CAT series or the CAT stretch. And it's something that I don't have enough time to guide you or your listeners through right now. But it is something that once you learn it, you can do in 10 to 20 minutes once or twice a day. And that then is maintenance. And it's enough to maintain and kind of resolve your daily exposure to stress and the tension that you accumulate day in and day out.
So
there's not something
Cat stretch, you said?
The cat stretch, or because of this, what people think of when they hear stretch, sometimes we'll refer to it as the cat series or the cat sequence of movements. And there's 8 or 9 of them in there. I highly recommend everybody listening to this learn that, because you'll be empowered for the rest of your life to address so many issues that you don't even know you're experiencing because we ignore them. And your brain is designed to do that, by the way, to tune out pain and tune out parts of your body that don't work. Because as a survival mechanism, when the tiger jumps out from behind the bush, you still need to be able to dodge out of the way and run, even if it hurts, or even if some of you is not really working optimally, right? The after effect is survival doesn't think about, right? That's for us to deal with. But anyway, I can briefly guide you through a short exercise so you guys can get a feel for what it feels like to do somatic movement. Would you like to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Do you want something kind of more for your core and your back, or something for neck and shoulder muscles? Neck and shoulder. That's everybody's favorite / least favorite body part, right? Okay, so let's do one of my favorite somatic exercises, and it's for your upper trapezius muscle, which is kind of the triangular muscle between the side of your neck and the top of your shoulder. If you're a swimmer or a bodybuilder, you can see it better than on a normal non-bodybuilding person. The function of that muscle is to shrug your shoulders up, more or less, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't do that alone. There's always more than one muscle involved, so anytime you hear me or another Hannah somatic educator talk about one muscle, we're just using it as a reference point. There's always usually like 7 at least muscles involved in almost any movement you can do with your body, sometimes a lot more than that. Yeah. So for this one, I'll give you some instructions. You guys listening, you can follow my instructions, but you're in charge of your own body, your own comfort level. Okay. So don't just copy what you see me do on screen. And in fact, we usually don't demonstrate when we're teaching Hannah somatics because of monkey see, monkey do. Do you guys have that expression? If you watch me do it, you'll try to copy it the way I do it. But I guarantee I have a different level of chronic tension or baseline muscle tone in my body than you do right now. And I also have a different history. I might have an old shoulder injury, or you might, right? Or I might carry a bag on one shoulder, and that shoulder is tighter than the other because it's constantly lifting the bag up against gravity, and you've trained yourself to be crooked because of that. Westerians, take note, don't wear shoulder bags. So you need to feel and listen to your own body as we're doing somatic exercises, because I want you to only move within your comfortable range of motion right now. So for some people that might be, I'm going to ask you to turn your head as part of this exercise, right? You might not turn your head very far, or some people might turn their head really far. It really depends on where you're at. And also it depends on your current level of body awareness, right? You might not be able to feel that you turned your head too far and now you're pushing into resistance and now you're stretching your opposing muscle group, but your brain's not listening because it's so used to you having shoulder pain that it's tuned it out, okay? That's really common, and there's actually a name for it. We call it motor sensory amnesia. Your brain has ceased to use that muscle to send neural impulses down. It doesn't receive sensory impulses anymore, and it's just like a numb or a blank area in your internal body map until you do this, and this is going to put it back on the map because it's going to send neural impulses down and receive sensory impulses back from that muscle in that area as we do this, okay? So you might feel stuff happening, you might not. Depends on who's doing it. But all you need to do is stay comfortable, move slowly, stay within your comfortable range of motion. If you feel that you stretch somewhere, could be the back of your neck, could be your other shoulder, just take that information to know that you've gone a little farther than what I'd consider your comfortable range of motion. So then the next time, because we're going to repeat this a few times on each side, you'll just do it smaller, okay? And as a general guideline, I usually tell people only go half as far as you think you can into whatever movement I'm telling you to do. Okay, so if that's turn your head, don't go all the way, because I know I've gone all the way because now I feel this side stop me, right? Just go 50, 60% of the way and then come back slowly. And coming back slowly is the most important part of doing somatic exercises. Okay, because it's during the slow coming back that 2 really important things happen. 1, to move that slowly, you have to control the movement with your frontal lobe, with your voluntary motor cortex, Okay. If you move quickly, your cerebellum or your brainstem, which is in the unconscious parts of your brain that can control movement, they will do it. And they're really good at doing it. And they will want to do it. And that's how you move most of the time, right? You're not usually moving so slowly that you have to think about the movement, right? But that's what I want you to do. You're going to move slowly into the move so that you don't blow through any resistance or pain. And you're going to come even more slowly out so that you're coming out with your voluntary motor cortex being in charge. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. Turn your head to the right. For me, that's this way because I think my video is mirrored. Anyway, now that you've turned your head to the right, you're going to tip your head back just a little. So you're going to kind of look up toward the ceiling, but not too far. And now your opposite shoulder, so your left shoulder is going to shrug up kind of toward your ear or the back of your head. And now very slowly, just kind of melt out of those moves. So your shoulder will start to come back down as your chin comes back to neutral. And you can even turn your head back to the middle slowly and bring your nose back. And you can do this with your eyes closed. If that's easier for you, you can keep them open. That's it. We just did a somatic movement, but we're going to do it three times. So same side, turn your head to the right, but not too far. Tip your head back a little bit to kind of shorten the back of your neck as you lift your left shoulder. Now that we're up there, you've contracted your upper trapezius muscle to do that. And now you're going to slowly do less of all those pieces. Do less of a shoulder lift, letting your shoulder come down. Bring your chin less up so that it comes down. And then turn your head less and less until your face is to the front again. And just come back to wherever comfortable, neutral, resting feels for you. One more time to the same side. Turn your head to the right, but not too far. Now that you know what we're doing, you can look up and lift your left shoulder at the same time. And then slowly melt. Let gravity bring your shoulder down. Let gravity slowly bring your chin down, and you're just controlling how fast. And slowly come back to the middle. Beautiful. Now that we're here, do nothing for a little bit. Because the goal of doing somatic movement with your body is to achieve access to a particular part of your brain, right? We're using the movement the body can do to activate something that the brain can do. And that involves sending neural impulses back and forth, right? We want to give your brain time and your body time to exchange that information, to complete the feedback loop before we move on to the next thing. So it'd be better if I wasn't talking to you while you rest between movements. So if you guys do this again, just mute me or pause me or something. But the point is, the resting in between movements is as important as the movement themselves. Okay? You can do the movement as tiny as you need to stay comfortable, as long as you're moving a little. Or if you were so tight and had so much neck pain that you couldn't move, you could close your eyes and visualize doing the move, which will still get your brain talking to the muscles a little bit and can help you get going, okay? But we're going to do the other side now, because if you successfully use your motor cortex to do that slow coming back to neutral, your left trapezius muscle is now longer than your right trapezius muscle, okay? And you might even see that here. We can look at our shoulders because we're on camera. If you were doing this in a mirror and you do just one side, usually you'll find that shoulder has dropped lower than the other one because the muscle has lengthened and let it go down. That's how fast this stuff works.
Yeah.
So it's really important that whatever somatic exercise you do, you try to do both sides. Same thing when we're working with horses. We work in balance around the horse to try to not get too out of whack in case we get interrupted, okay? All right, let's do the other side so that our trapezius muscles are balanced. So now turn your head to the left, but not too far. Tip your head back so the back of your neck gets shorter. Not too far, so you're looking at the ceiling. Now lift your right shoulder up, only as far as you can go easily and comfortably. And now let gravity bring your shoulder down slowly as you bring your chin down toward level or toward neutral, which might not be level for you. And let your nose come back to the middle. Okay, it's the same move. Let's do it again. Turn your head to the left. Tip your head back and lift your right shoulder. There's no need to hold at the top. We're really interested in the slow coming back. We're only lifting so we can slowly come back. We're only turning so we can slowly turn back. All the way back to neutral. Take a breath here. And when you're ready, we'll do your third repetition. Turn your head to the left. Tip your head back. Lift your right shoulder, contracting your right upper trapezius. Not too far, not too high, not too hard. And slowly, deliberately, kind of ooze back down like molasses in January. Till your shoulder comes to rest, your chin is in neutral, and your nose will slowly come back to the front. And then rest here. Anything.
Interesting.
How was that?
That's so interesting. So interesting what's happening and how different the two sides were. That's fantastic. Now, as I said, I could go on forever, and I'm definitely even more looking forward to the course in May now.
Great.
Alyssa, where can we find you? Where can people find out more from you?
Well, I live in a tiny town in the foothills of the Sierra Mountains in Oregon, in the United States. I moved here so nobody could find me, but you can sometimes. But I do teach online, and I have a presence on social media, and website is probably the best place to get info. You can find me on Facebook or Instagram if you want, just by searching my name. But the best place, if you want to learn how to do this work with horses and how it works, is to go to equinehannasomatics.org. And right on the homepage there, there will be a little bouncing button that tries to get you to click it, because that's where you sign up for our free ebook that'll teach you 3 equine hannasomatics exercises. It'll talk you through, again, these principles of doing somatic movement. There's some photos of me doing it with a horse so that you can start trying this with a horse. And then if you want more, that's the website that has our intro course on it, that has where you apply to the professional training program that you've joined, Christine. And if you want to experience more of this type of movement, or actually do this exercise and another shoulder exercise with me, I have a free masterclass on my personal website, which is alyssamayer.com. And again, if you go there, there'll be a button right there on the homepage where you can sign up for the free masterclass. And then I can guide you through this exercise. And if you want to find a hannasomatics practitioner to teach you how to do this with your body, you can go to hannasomatics.com, which will take you to the human side of the hannasomatics education and association, where they have a practitioner directory. So you can find someone. There's also a directory on the equinehannasomatics.org site of our certified and student level EHS practitioners, which we have in 12 or 14 countries now. So if you're a horse owner and you want someone to do this work hands-on with your horse, or show you how to do some of the basic stuff, that's where you can find people you can see in real life instead of just through a computer screen or on a podcast, which is so amazing that we can do this. And thank you so much for having me, Christine.
Thank you. It was amazing, amazing listening to you. And as I said, I look forward to learning more from you. It's fantastic.
Thank you. I look forward to having you too. And then empowering you to go help us change the world and help people and horses actualize their potential.
Absolutely. Thank you.
See you soon.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below, and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.